You're right.
We're a bit northern.
Welcome to Movie Banter.
No, please don't.
Okay, welcome to Movie Banter. I'm Paul Carenza. That's my real voice.
Yes. I'm John Sands.
And I'm Jennifer Masters.
That's not her real voice.
That's slightly exactly. Northern.
This week, Jennifer Masters is voiced by an impressionist. Welcome to Movie Banter. This week, a special.
A special.
In which we thought we'd do some speed reviewing, because previous weeks we normally cover about two or three of the latest releases a week. And sometimes we've got more to catch up on, we do four or five maybe. But never have we tried to review 50 films in a week.
Yes.
So that's about one a minute. And we thought, what better 50 can we pick than the top 50 of all time, as voted for by you, if you have been on IMDb and voted.
So that's a fairly good standard to go from. That's pretty much it, really. I think that was the gist.
Should we do that, then?
Yes,
let's crack on then, shall we? So, 50 minutes we're going to try and aim for, and it starts with number 50, Alien.
Which is, I'd say, better than Aliens, depending on what sort of mood you're in.
So, yeah.
Slower
different
and more
film,
thoughtful.
Isn't it, really?
Yeah, good horror, psychological.
Because Aliens is your James Cameron more sort of running and.
Yes,
thing
although
version.
It's not quite as much gun running as you might think. But,
Ridley Scott, the original, isn't it?
Yes, much and more. He's doing a remake as well.
He is indeed, isn't he? Yeah.
Not remake, sorry, a prequel.
A reboot, is it?
No, it is just a prequel.
Okay.
But yeah, so Alien is the classic sort of definitive Alien thing.
Absolutely.
Brilliant design as well of a creature.
And Sigourney Weaver doing a bit for the women.
Very
bit for your lot. Your sort.
My kind.
Yeah, your kind. Exactly. The other aliens.
Exactly.
The other species.
And doesn't she do it well?
And the John Hurt and the thing in the chest and
incredible. And creepy robot.
Good. Number 49 is M,
which I've never seen.
You know Bond.
Yes.
An hour of her.
It's the prequel.
It's the prequel.
How did you get good?
How did you get it? No, it's a 1931 film. I have seen it. I did see it years ago on a video copy. Didn't quite as pay as much attention to it as I should have done. I think it was one of those late night thinking this is a worthy film. I meant to see it. It's a 1931 film, so it's black and white, and it's not an easy watch, but it's a film noir. And it paved the way really for a lot of crime films, because the plot of it is very, very briefly is that there's a criminal on the run, a child killer, in fact. The authorities are clamping down in this town to try and get him, but because they're clamping down and the police are everywhere, the local crime bosses know that they can't operate anymore. Local mob can't operate, so they try and get the child killer for the police, so they get the police off their backs. And the actual killer himself goes around whistling Horde of the Mountain King in quite a creepy way.
Oh.
So it paves the way for a lot of the more modern crime films and serial killer films and that sort of thing. So good film.
Yeah, okay.
To find it.
48, we get Amélie.
Amélie, a.k.a. Le Fabuleux Destin.
We don't have time for the full French title for Which is, it's a wonderful film. It's just very, very weird, but very sweet. Amélie being sort of a lonely French girl.
Really interesting stuff to do there.
Candy for the eyes.
Yeah, it is. It's not as many foreign language films that I think, with subtitle films that I actually often think, oh yeah, I'd like to watch that and treat myself. Because a lot of them you think, oh, I should watch it, but I'll have to read this film. But it's really,
it's a genuine joy to watch.
Really, you forget you're reading it.
You do. Yeah.
And great soundtrack as well, actually.
Yes.
With the accordion and the piano, the blinky
blinky
piano. I actually have that on my iPod quite a lot, and it appears quite a lot when we're just sort of hanging out at home playing some cards or something. And people, whoever's there, goes, why in the world are we listening to French accordion music? And I say, it's Amélie! It's a good thing!
Anyway, Double Indemnity.
It looks like it's a Hitchcock film, but it's not. And has anyone seen it?
I haven't. I know my flatmate got the DVD, but I've not yet watched it. It sounds a bit like Double Jeopardy.
Yeah.
But, which is the more modern...
That sounds more like a game show.
Like someone's just milked, but... Double Identity.
It's a Billy Wilder film, actually, who did Some Like It Hot and things like that. Nice relationship-based thriller. Plot being insurance agent wants to... he comes around, basically, door-to-door salesman, has an affair with the woman he finds, and she then uses the insurance agreement to get the indemnity clause, so kill her husband and she'll get all the money. He then puts a doubled indemnity clause so that he'll get even more money. And then it's about the fact that people then expose this death, as this murder, as it looks a bit suspicious. And good film.
Alright.
46 is District 9, which we reviewed on this
new
podcast
entry,
not too recent,
be.
Not too long
indeed,
ago.
Indeed.
Which is South Africa-based alien refugee film.
Mm.
Yes.
Which sounds slightly weird, but could well still be in cinemas, maybe.
It's certainly the most recent film on the top 50 of the IMDb.
Yes, and it's moving for a sci-fi film. It's quite down to earth in a weird way. It's a very human story.
Yeah.
So yes, well worth a watch.
Do you see
DVD, if nothing else.
A lot of films on this list which are more recent, sort of come and go a bit. But I wonder if this one will stay, certainly in the top 100, if not top 50, I think, for a while. I think it's doing new stuff. It's good.
Yes, it's made an impression.
Number 45, Paths of Glory. Anyone seen this one?
I'm afraid to say no.
No, Stanley Kubrick film. I did see it again years ago. I had actually had a little quest a while ago to try and see all these big films that are highly rated. And this is one of them I hadn't seen. War film with Kirk Douglas.
Right.
And it's all about mutiny and about the rights and wrongs of war, the futility of war, and people punishing men for mutinying.
Right.
And kind of the pointlessness of that, of, you know, do you kill your own men if they refuse to kill others, then you're just killing more men.
Well, yeah,
kind of
serves no purpose beyond possibly discipline, but it's hardly most.
Yeah, sort of quite a heavy watch, quite a tough watch, but good film.
Cool. 44, we have Wall-E.
Wall-E.
Another recent entrant, but I think it warrants a place.
It's a great film. It really is.
It does incredible things for a film, for like the first half hour with no dialogue.
Oh, brilliant.
No words, and yet still. Very moving tale of a love story between two robots.
Yeah, it's utterly charming. Utterly charming.
But I put it in for the first hour, but for the last 40 minutes or an hour or so, it kind of lost me a bit when it went into space.
It changes tone slightly. It becomes slightly less moving and a bit more conventional animated film. But it's still very good and entertaining.
I mean, it is a U. I mean, let's remember it is predominantly a children's film.
The first half is a U, and that's still quite...
Yeah, but I'm saying that it is... children's film.
It's something really special when it's just the robot, I think.
And
when you start doing the plot, it's something else.
No, true. Yeah. But still well worth watching.
Yeah, certainly. Number 43, Forrest Gump.
I haven't seen this in such a long time because the last time I saw it, I cried like a little girl.
Aww. Yeah, I cried.
I did.
One.
It wrecked me. Just a man overcoming achievements and finding happiness but not understanding life. And very good effects for its time, sort of weaving Tom Hanks into archive footage.
Yeah.
Wasn't there talk of a sequel? Son of Gump or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, they were going to weave him into other things in more modern history. But I think that was a book written, but the screenplay was, you know, hoisted around a bit and they decided not to do it, I think.
I think maybe leave it alone.
Yeah, a classic of its own, yeah.
42, Lawrence of Arabia, which I'm sorry to say is another one I've never seen.
Really?
No, sure. I know it's an epic, great, classic, awesome, phenomenal film, and yet I only know that via reported news.
I've only seen bits, I haven't actually seen the whole film.
I've seen it in bits years ago because it's quite a long film, and again, it's quite a. You need a good attention span to sit and watch the lot. But yeah, it was good when I saw it. Peter off the tool as Lawrence. And, you know, a very famous shot of Omar Sharif coming in from the distance. And there's a nice bit of trivia with it, is because it's about a journey and about not just through time, through a desert, but through time as well. 99% of the characters come on from stage left and leave stage right. So they always walk, every scene, someone walks on from there and leaves that side. So it looks like it's a lot ongoing collage.
Yes, I think Lord of the Rings works the same way.
I was just about to say. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
I think that most of the time, it's most of the time the hobbits are travelling. It may be that good characters travel from left to right as you look on screen, and bad characters tend to go right to left.
That
might be the only thing, but the it's definitely the same.
Well,
if they're going
to converge in the same point, then that would make sense. It gives this sense of, you know,
if the goodies go that way and the baddies go that way, they'd only meet halfway through the second film.
They might have started from the same point. You'd just be walking slowly.
Very true.
Each other.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you spend the last film and half waving over each other's shoulder, going, "Oh, we've missed you. We'll come back."
It's like a channel tunnel. You've got to line up
exactly. Otherwise, you just get two channel tunnels.
Anyway, Vertigo.
Good. We've got very far to go. We've got 40 to go, yeah.
Oh, very true.
That's 40, a crap 40, job. 40, I'm so
Vertigo?
Sorry.
Yeah. Vertigo is 41.
Indeed.
Alfred Hitchcock, classic.
Yeah. James Stewart.
Yes.
And women. But one woman who looks like another woman.
Is she the same one? Is she not the same one?
Spirally death and jumping down a thing and a big swirly hole and face.
That's pretty much exactly the summary it's on the back of the DVD.
It is actually, yeah.
Big bit where it goes, face.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't mean much when you read it.
No. But it is a classic for good reason.
No, one of my favourites of Hitchcock.
Yes.
Mm.
And it was Hitchcock. What more can you say, really?
Exactly. Yeah. It's enough said. Enough
self-evident.
Said. Yeah.
American History X, number 40.
Yeah.
Which is disturbing.
Yeah, I don't want to see it again, really, but it was very good when I saw it.
Mm.
Edward Norton and doing horrible things with a curb.
Yes, face destruction.
Mm. No, I haven't seen this one.
It's Edward Norton and Edward Furlong.
Yes, that's right.
Playing Edward Norton being kind of a reformed white supremacist or neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
or semi-reformed, and Edward Furlong sort of going along the same path that he was on.
Right.
And he's just trying to stop him.
Mm.
But, yes, with mixed results.
I haven't seen American History 1 to 9, so I don't know if those count. But,
no, I've seen Malcolm.
It's another Roman numerals joke. Every week on this show.
39, Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm surprised, actually, that's only a 39. I would have thought that'd be a lot higher.
Yeah.
I've never rated it as much as a lot of people have. That I do like it. I think it's an excellent film. But I'm actually, in a way, surprised that there are not 39 films that people rate higher. Just because it's a tough watch, isn't it?
It is a tough watch. It's still a brilliant portrayal of a deeply disturbed
man. True. That's what worries me, I think. I think I probably saw it. I was quite fragile at the time. And I'd only just started my job as a taxi driver. And very good characterisation.
And Jodie Foster, yes.
Yeah.
Extremely good. 38, Inglourious Basterds.
Another
new entry. Mm. I think that's slightly overrated. For a start, I put District 9 above Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah, I would do. I don't.
Yeah.
I think it's.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Inglourious Basterds. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up on the top 250. But I think it's more representative of IMDb users.
Well, yeah.
And sort of Tarantino fanboys.
It's
that does him a disservice because he's well worth admiring.
Yes.
But I think, it's a good film, but it's averaging at the minute 8.5 out of 10.
I think it's been
change.
Slightly too skewed towards.
Mm. Yeah, there's nothing wrong keeping a sense of perspective about this.
Very true.
Yeah.
37. Should we cover England? No, basically, it's good.
You can go back and listen to Glorious Bastards. We mentioned it on the podcast a few weeks ago. I think it's on 41, 42, something like that. Go and find that one.
Yeah. Great tension, good script.
Yeah,
true. Mm. 37, American Beauty.
Yeah, I'd like to see that one again, actually. That's Kevin Spacey and Thora Birch and others.
And Chris Cooper. And
Chris Cooper, of course, isn't it? Yeah. Where's Chris Cooper been lately?
He's in some great films. I saw a trailer last night that he was going to be in, and I can't think what the film was now. But yeah, he did. He had a good run.
He was in
the spy thriller thing a year or two ago.
Yes.
It was all about Leaking. I can't remember the name of it now. Anyway.
Leaking. Yeah.
No. But yeah, I mean, he's still doing stuff. He's still out there.
Yeah, he's good. He's great, and it's a good film.
Breach.
Really good film.
That was it.
Breach. Well done. There you go. Got there in the
end. Yeah. So he's still around, and he's in stuff coming up. But yeah, American Beauty is a very good film. So since. It's always been parodied a bit since.
Well, the iconic picture with the roses and the petals and all that sort of thing. I mean, I'm thinking of parodying that for my next Edinburgh Fringe Festival poster.
Really?
Yeah. I just need a photographer, though. Any offers? No one will do it. That's the problem.
I'll do it.
One day. Really?
That's a bad image for you.
I think that's one to add to the DVD collection. I don't have that one, and I want to get it.
Mm. Yes, it is very good. 36, Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
This is a beast of a film.
It is, isn't it? Again, cool. There's some very tough watches on this list, isn't there, really?
Especially the Apocalypse Now Redux, which is 8 times as long.
Yeah. Did it need to be really?
Well, I've not seen this one.
Have you not?
Really? No. Am I really missing a lot?
It's got classic moments in it. I think actually the parts are not as great as the sum of the whole.
I mean, I know about the music, and I've heard about it and seen snippets, but do I really need to see the whole thing?
I don't know if you do. I mean, I'll be honest, it kind of lost me in the last third when they actually go into the jungle and they're looking for Marlon Brando. Up to that point, I think it's an amazing war film, and Ride of the Valkyries, and I love Breakfast in the Morning and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it goes a little bit too.
You love Breakfast in the Morning? So well, I was ready to doing the smell of napalm.
I know, but I didn't like to mention napalm and bring the whole show down, you know.
Well, I find breakfast extremely traumatic.
Well, yeah, true.
Fair enough. Anyway, sorry.
So, couple that with Good Morning Vietnam, you get breakfast and a good morning.
Napalm at Tiffany's, classic thing.
Moving on.
Yes.
Number 35 is Up.
Yes, which, unfortunately, we haven't had a chance to see yet.
No, I don't think they were happy with how it sort of went in America, really.
Didn't it? I thought it did really well.
I think it went actually. I think they had doubts about how it would go.
Okay, so they didn't want a worldwide simultaneous.
I read an article by, I think it was someone from McDonald's or someone like that. No, it's a toy manufacturer who said, so we're looking forward to various releases soon. Up isn't one of them because we're not sure how many people will buy Happy Meals with some picture, some old man character. And then they spoke to the screenwriter of Up the next day and said, what do you think about these comments from this representative from the McDonald's toy department? And, of course, the screenwriter got rightly annoyed, saying, I'm trying to write a film here.
Yeah,
I'm not really worried about the toy sales at McDonald's.
I don't care if you're going to sell a burger.
Yeah,
I'm going to make a brilliant film.
Start laughing, going, well, it wasn't my priority, I'm afraid.
Exactly, that's the thing.
And I think it is still the best-reviewed film of this year.
Right,
with
okay.
only one or two reviewers sort of going, oh, it's not very good. And even those I mean, they're technically negative reviews, but I think they make valid points, but they're just points that those reviewers happen to be bothered by more than anyone else did. Mm. So, yeah,
well, I think
so
it's the highest rated of the recent films here on our list, I think, pretty much. I look forward to it.
Really am.
But not just yet.
Indeed. Number 34, Leon.
It's called The Professional in America.
Oh, indeed,
which always confuses me.
Yes.
But yes, Natalie Portman in her first role being phenomenal.
I'd like to see that
again. Yeah,
I've seen that a long time.
Natalie Portman probably giving a better performance than she has in many subsequent films, actually.
That's when she was hotly tipped, then, wasn't she, to be...
Yes. But I still think she could be. I mean, closer. And, I mean, she's had her moments. Star Wars did an okay.
She hasn't really picked necessarily the best films, I think.
No, but not yet. The other Berlin Girl was also... Yes.
I think she's picked some all right films, but she hasn't picked anything stellar that's really made
change
her
your agent.
Wow.
Go down the agent.
She's also still really quite young. And so she's done a lot of time.
She certainly looks young.
Yes, but she could possibly be where Amy Adams is. Although Amy, I think, is a little bit older.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. But yes, Leon is about a hitman.
Great movie.
And a girl.
Yes, a girl whose family gets killed. He takes her in. And then she wants to become a hitman, and he's how he deals with that. And yeah, phenomenal film.
Jean Reno's brilliant, and of course Gary Oldman as well. He's really good in it. Scarily good.
He is. He's freaky and really quite disturbing. Everyone, I still love.
Anyway. God, haunted me for a second.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
brings us on number 33, Citizen Kane,
which is, I know it's good.
Yeah,
and yet.
See, this
more often than not, I've fallen asleep during it.
A list like this does expose those sort of the cinephiles, doesn't it, really? Because it's one of those that, again, I saw it because I felt I had to.
Yeah.
I think rather than a burning desire to rush out.
And I can appreciate the quality. Well, I mean, as we said before about some films, in that if you see them at the time, it's very good. And, you know, in later. Yeah. Halloween, another film.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is far more cinematic. It's got far more weight and gravitas carried through the decades. But I think a little bit of that is still true, in that coming at it now, so many other things have learned lessons from it and done it their own way. When we see it, you sort of see, okay, but you're less impressed.
Yeah, you can see it's grand, but there's certain shots in there that I'm surprised to see in a film of that age, because it's maybe, 1941? And there's certain ways that, you know, clearly it was groundbreaking and paved the way for a lot of things.
Yes.
And it is a good film if you sit and if you could stomach your way through it, and a great twist at the end, you know, the Rosebud and all that. So if you don't know it, well worth seeing, you know. But yeah, it's potentially hard work.
I think I should probably give it another go anyway. But it's the same with like most classics, you know, they're built on a history and very, you know, justified, but from our point of view,
it's hard to really just give it a rollicking endorsement.
Yeah,
but it is obviously still a phenomenal film.
We did see as well the castle that William Randolph Hearst is living in, didn't he, in Western America. Scarily big,
huge.
Speaking of big castles, Lord of the Rings: The Two Towers. That's
number
32.
I was trying to think if that was an unusual place, but I think that probably makes sense. Not that it's really the weakest of the three. Well, I'm assuming the other two
are above it.
Not that it's necessarily the weakest, but the first one's obviously sort of groundbreaking, and the third one's kind of the biggest and wraps everything up, so it makes sense this one to be here. But I think it's pretty much, for the sake of argument, equally as good as the other two.
Yeah.
They're all brilliantly epic, hugely moving, involving stories for essentially a fantasy film.
I think actually that... because I think I enjoyed this one more when I saw it than the first one. Although I've seen the first one pretty more often because that's the one that sets all up and it's on TV and it's more accessible and you get into it straight away. Whereas if Two Towers comes on, I think, oh, I can't watch this because I've got to watch the first one.
True. But it has less... The lack of setup, I think, helps it.
You jump straight in and you can do it. Yeah, yeah.
But yes,
we'll come on to the other two.
Yeah, I put them all together in my mind. So
yeah, I mean, it's very hard. It's hard to
separate them.
But 31 is Seven.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Phenomenal film.
It's a Sevenon. A fine movie. Fine movie.
Despite the weird spelling.
Indeed.
And yeah, Kevin Spacey, before he was... Because I know this is what made me aware of Kevin Spacey, but I didn't... I mean, he's obviously been going before then, but didn't really register as a big name yet in my head.
Well, he wasn't. I think he was actually... he was like the secret weapon they had in the film. And they thought, great, you know, it'll be a big surprise ending and people won't know... The people might watch it thinking, oh, it'll be some big... star that we've heard of, and then actually, but he's really good.
Yeah,
and I think actually, Usual Suspects, there was a race on between the two of them to get the film out first.
No,
because Usual Suspects wanted to do the same thing.
Yeah,
and Usual Suspects still did all right out of it because they came away going, we had the bloke from Seven in it rather than here's this great unknown person. But I love Seven. I think it's brilliant.
And also, I mean, one of the many films that, well, this era, marked Brad Pitt as more than just, hey, he's a pretty boy. Mm. You know, he actually was doing a film with weight and carrying it off quite nicely. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, a fantastic cast if you think about it. The whole cast, Gwyneth Paltrow.
What's in the bag?
I mean, exactly.
And all the horrible deaths. Indeed. Gotta love the horrible deaths.
Oh, it is. It's brilliant.
I keep meaning to revisit the bit of material I'm told I used to do years ago about the alternative ending to Seven.
Yes.
The DVD has an alternative ending, even though the ending is brilliant in, mm-hmm. in Seven. So how can you change it? And my point was that you can only change it really by changing what's in the box. Perhaps a milk jug. Something easy. Something that's not Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Oh, no, if you haven't seen it, then
what have you been doing?
14 years. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, now you change your tune. Well, I've been with usual
suspects.
Well,
I've seen
anyway.
This one. It's fine.
Oh, fine.
Actually, I love this film as well. It was one of the first film posters I've ever put on my wall.
Oh,
there you go.
Nice.
Showing your age. Number 30, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And it is a wonderful life.
You would show your age if you don't remember this one.
Well, yes, because this film was in it. And it is a wonderful film. Classic Christmas.
Yeah.
James Stewart. Oh, it's just heartwarming.
I watched it the other day with my wife.
Of course, because why wouldn't you in the middle?
Exactly. It was summer when we watched it. And she'd never seen it before. And it, was it you, Jen, I saw it with last Christmas? And have you seen it before?
I hadn't seen it all.
You hadn't seen it, and I had it on video, recorded on the TV, and you know it's a redemption story. It takes quite a journey with James Stewart's character, who's very depressed, and then this angel shows him the way and how life could have been without him and that sort of thing. And I seem to recall that the film cut off at probably the lowest of the low moments for him, contemplating suicide and all that. And suddenly, on a dog show appeared that my mum had recorded. So. Apologies. It got better, I promise. It's got a lovely ending. It really has.
Not just man kills himself and goes to a dog show.
Yeah.
29, North by Northwest. This was great. A couple of years ago now. It's one of the... Normally, I'll watch it... If it's not the cinema, it's quite rare I'll sit at home and watch a film just as is. I'll tend to put it on the TV, be doing other stuff, half watching it, half not. North by Northwest, I actually sat down and thought, no, I'm going to watch this properly. Just stuck the DVD on, just sat in front of it for 2 hours and absorbing every second of it. And it's phenomenal.
Really good.
Really, it's another classic Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Again, many
James
famous
Mason,
moments.
James Mason.
Yeah.
James Mason.
And yeah, just
Cary Grant, of course.
Yes, and in case of mistaken identity, Cary Grant going on the run, being chased by people who think he's someone he isn't. Just brilliant.
And crop dusting planes.
Oh,
wonderful shot! Wonderful shot.
And fight on the
Mount Rushmore.
Yes, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, there's a screenwriter who cited that. I think it's William Goldman cited that scene at the end as economy of stuff. In the last 20 seconds of the film, you get everything from villain being disposed of and Cary Grant, what has happened to him, what's going to happen to the heroine, wraps up the film in about... It's a textbook script in terms of the last bit of the film, so wonderful.
Cool, admire for that.
Yeah.
28, Memento, which is... That's a great film. I haven't seen that in a long time. Famous for being told backwards, essentially.
It's a very, very clever... Clever film and again great performance. It keeps you on your toes all the way through.
Yes, because you're just as confused as the main star, Guy Pearce, because we see sort of in segments going backwards, and we're just as confused as he is as to what exactly is going on and how things tie together. And then of course by the end, it's sort of all the more tragic because we know what's happened or what's about to happen and he doesn't yet, and it's
Yeah, and you can watch it again, obviously.
And I think the special edition of the DVD has a way where you can watch it all in order.
Oh,
chronologically properly, which I haven't done. I'd imagine it would almost not quite work as well.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably for once you've exhausted the film in itself.
Well,
was it
Christopher Nolan?
It was Christopher Nolan. Yeah,
was it his first film then?
Well, yeah. In fact, I heard the other day what happened with that is that he made another film. I can't remember what it's called now. I think it's called Following or The Following, something like that. And which was quite low budget and quite basic and quite simple. Didn't do much. Just a bit on the indie circuit. And so he went to film festivals with this film and showed it around people and said, I've got a film called Memento I really want to make. It's a bit edgy, it's a bit different, here's the pitch. And they go, oh, okay, here's the other film I've done, here's the low budget Following thing.
Yeah.
They watch that and go, okay, yeah, you're pretty good, we'll pay for you to do Memento.
Yeah.
And so we did the film we wanted to do by that.
That ties in very nicely to the next film but one, which I will come to in a second. 27 is Doctor Strangelove.
We haven't got time to get the title.
No time.
Exactly. Doctor
Strangelove, it's a brilliant film. It's one of the funniest films you'll ever see about global nuclear war.
Exactly.
Really. It's just, it's so darkly comic.
Yeah.
And Stanley Kubrick being a genius, and Peter Sellers being phenomenal, and George C. Scott.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He was born to play. Isn't it Kubrick's only comedy as well?
Could be.
It's really rare.
I mean, like Full Metal Jacket has a couple of moments, I suppose.
But isn't it really rare? You know, most comedy directors just do comedy. You know, the guy who directed The Hangover, you know that the other films he's going to do, he's not really going to go and make
Todd
Titanic.
He's not going to turn around and do, you know. Mind you, you wouldn't have thought James Cameron would go from Aliens to Terminator 2 to Titanic.
Well, it's all, I suppose, it's got action, and then a bit epic, but no, very, very, I think it's a great film, and Peter Sellers just on form doing everything.
Yes.
It's totally his film.
And he was meant to be the bomber pilot as well, but broke his leg.
That's right, yeah.
Terrible show. 26 is The Matrix.
Oh, which, yeah. How did this link into...
Well, this links in because the Wachowski brothers said to studios, right, we want to make The Matrix. Is this film going to cost $100 million? They went, right, we've never heard of you. Maybe something else. Here you go, have a few million dollars and go and make Bound. Well, they said it had another idea. Right. And they went to make Bound, which is a lesbian crime thriller thing, which is phenomenally good. And did well. And they thought, okay, you've proved yourselves. Now go and make The Matrix. And they did.
That's quite impressive. If you go in for any job, just forget the film industry for a minute. You go in for the job and say, I'd like this job. And it's, I know it's a big job to ask for. I want this high-powered job. And they say, well, we're not sure how you do that job. We're going to lock in a room with some lesbians for a year and see how you do. And you go, fair enough. That's one way of approaching a job interview.
Yeah.
Well, it could be how
some... Sorry, I'm not just convinced. I know, it's just a thought in my head.
I know. Believe it, it's in my head now. So I feel bad. Yeah, I mean, The Matrix always needs no description. I imagine everyone listening would have seen it or know of it.
Brilliant.
First one, and again, second and third.
Off a bit, let's face
But the first one does have a lot going for it. And not least because the first time you see it, when you don't know exactly what's going on and then how it all fits together. But it's still, I mean, having rewatched it recently, it still carries its weight now. I mean, it's 10 years old. Blimey.
We're halfway through. We're a minute over. So, oh dear, 25.
Need to pick up the pace.
Sunset Boulevard,
which I've never seen. I'm sorry, I haven't even seen the musical.
I haven't seen either. Actually,
none of us have seen it.
This is the first one I haven't seen.
We can claw back some precious seconds.
So exactly.
None of us have seen it.
If you've seen Sunset Boulevard, email us in, and we'll do it next time.
But it's the 25th best film of all time according to the IMDb. So it's probably quite good.
Gloria Swanson doing her swan song.
Nah, nice. Good again.
Thanks.
So 24, Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. Properly terrifying.
Indeed.
Creepy.
Yes, Anthony Hopkins being an absolute genius.
Having an asthma attack.
True. And Jodie Foster, who I think she was better than Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. This is one of those... this was a slightly coming of age film for me. In that, I know it's not very coming of age. Hannibal Lecter goes through a journey. He will grow up and become a man.
No, that's Hannibal Rising, which was all
very true. Yeah, but it's coming in that this is one of those films where it came out and I was under 18. I think it must have been how old was I at the time?
Well, you must be 12
at the time.
Yes, you got
to see well under 18. And like, Mom, Dad, can I watch this film? We're not sure, but if you find a way to watch it on a pirate copy around at a friend's house, we won't ask questions. So saw it and got scared to buggery.
Yes. Really? That's pretty scared.
I was so scared,
I don't know what to do.
I was trying to not swear, and then I thought, is buggery a swear word? Well, technically. Great movie, anyway.
Really.
I didn't see it until, obviously, much later on. Even having older brothers didn't mean that I could sneakily see it, but it did still leave quite a profound impression after.
Yeah, and it's still, the fact that any horror film which still gets quoted and referenced many years later counts a lot. I think it's also telling that Manhunter, which was a few years earlier, didn't make the same impression, despite being kind of the same story.
What's amazing as well is that Anthony Hopkins is still the scariest thing in it, even though there's another guy in it who's an actual serial killer who takes skin and wears it as a coat.
Yeah.
That's not the scary thing.
No,
that's weird. A man in a room just talking about wine, that's the scary thing. Weird.
23, Psycho. It was a man not in a room, not talking about wine, but is dressing up as his dead mother.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, not Vince Vaughn.
No.
Oh, dear.
Vince Vaughn in a dress is not a sight that I will forget easily.
It's not good.
It's another worthy film. I've studied parts of it. It's a great film. Yeah, it's just the fact that obviously the first time that we see the heroine, she's getting dressed, and that's obviously this image that's left with you that no wonder, she's going to be a victim. She's a subject to be dealt with. I mean, it's great.
I think a lot of the modern slasher films owe a lot of debt to that, really.
Almost everything to it. And yet, none of them have done it nearly as well.
No, exactly.
And the harrowing, end scene, Lincoln's eyes.
Although, actually, I think I do prefer the other sort of the more mysterious Hitchcocks, the Vertigos and North by Northwest, I think, than this. But I think it was still very effective. And actually, I've seen the house as well. I did Universal Studios tour, and you go around a corner from Hill Valley Square and see the Psycho house on a hill.
Oh, no, that's a crossover film.
It is rather, isn't it? Yeah, you could do a great film on the set on the plot there, mixing it all together. It'd be quite cool.
22 is The Usual Suspects, which we sort of half covered already, actually.
We did mention it earlier. And Brian Singer directed, Christopher McQuarrie screen wrote.
Yes.
I'm just showing off my credits. Well, yes. And a great cast as well.
Yeah, very good cast. And a true mystery, which, yeah, you can work it out, but it's an unusual twist.
Yes.
I think it's how it all pans out.
I just wish I'd seen it before I knew.
Oh.
Well, sorry, you had 14 years.
I know. But I'm a girl.
No, that's what? Thanks,
no, it's a relatively broken film.
So you didn't go
film.
And see it because
yeah.
It wasn't my first choice, you know, at the time. Anyway.
Yes, but very good. 21 is Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, you didn't read the version
No,
there,
I'm not going to, because my Italian accent is worse than Brad Pitt in Inglourious Basterds.
C'era una volta il West.
As is yours.
I love the fact that West is just West.
C'era una volta il West.
Once Upon a Time in Fred West. Exactly. No, that's not.
It's Spaghetti Western, Sergio Leone.
Arguably a definitive one, almost.
One of them. Because actually, when I first started watching films on my own, as a film sort of lover, really, then I actually watched this as one of my earliest Westerns, which was odd. I think I'd recommend to anyone, if you've never seen much Westerns, see the sort of 40s, 50s John Wayne Westerns first.
Right.
Because Spaghetti Westerns are doing a sort of... a version of a Western based on what you already know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's true. So they work because they reinvent it to a degree.
Yeah, because they do it in Italy and it's done on a different sort of style. And it's a really good film, really good film. And the first opening bit at a station, really tense and dramatic and uses music really well. And the camera pans up, a bit like in Back to the Future 3.
Yeah.
And you're over the station, you can see the town before you. And Henry Fonda, eerie and scary in it. Not as good as Once Upon a Time in America, but that's because that's the best film ever. But,
well, of course.
Just not on this list.
Oh, really? Is it not?
No.
Wrong!
Wrong!
That's a notable omission. Number 20 is the first Lord of the Rings film.
Yes.
Which we've kind of pretty much see what we said before.
Yeah, Fellowship of the Ring. It's, it kicked it all off.
It's true.
And it's good.
Very good. Massive achievement.
Yeah.
19 is Fight Club.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Which is, yes. Yet more Brad Pitt.
We can't talk about this because the first rule...
of Fight Club is you don't talk about it. Yeah, it's very true. But yeah, that's a great film. I see, again, with a twist, different ending goes in an unusual direction you weren't expecting.
I'd love to, like, not have seen this film and to see it for the first time again. That's
just get amnesia. We can smack you around the head really hard.
Please do.
No.
Really?
No. can we put some sound effects in now?
Pong. Anyway. Yes.
What's that film? I really want to see it. Yeah,
and Brad Pitt just proving, once again, he has range and can do phenomenal
things.
I
love the look of this film. It's like,
it's very interesting.
David Fincher, because he went from Alien 3 to 7 to this.
Fight Club,
there's a big gap, actually, between 7 and Fight Club.
But it makes you show there's so many on this list which have the good the twist ending, the famous twist ending.
Yeah,
so,
well, I think it makes a good film. Although the next one, number 18, is Raiders of the Lost
Ark. Well, just a fantastic romp,
which,
isn't it? Really?
Which doesn't have a twist ending at all. It's
1981.
Entirely.
Indeed. Goodness me, it doesn't seem that old.
No, it's nearly as old as we are.
Oh, very true.
Indeed.
Yeah, and it is. It's still the best Indiana Jones film.
I think it's the
best
Spielberg film, I think, as well, myself.
Yeah, that's true. That's, sort of definitive, classic, family friendly, but still, with terror and action adventure. And a brilliant creation as well.
And you can, I mean, you compare it to the fourth one, and there's a long downward spiral to that.
Very
but
much so.
The second and third still very good as well. But the first one is the best, I think.
Yeah, but I can't think of a relatively recent action adventure lead role that's going to be created and will end up being that iconic in a way.
Nicolas Cage in National Treasure.
You see?
Oh dear!
It just doesn't work.
Fair point. Number 17, City of God.
Ah, yes, the Brazilian
2002
crime
film.
That was traumatic.
Yeah, I'd like to see it again, actually.
Yeah, I've only seen it once.
I've seen it a couple of times, but I've got it on DVD, and it's worth a look again.
Might have to borrow it.
Particularly in light of... I sort of found myself comparing Slumdog Millionaire to it quite a bit.
Yeah,
because it's a similar sort of background. The early bits of Slumdog Millionaire, particularly the stuff on the streets.
It's kind of how it could have gone in a different...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's largely about criminal gangs with children in them, or not just children, but in part. Being roped into, and it's based on a true story.
I think it might be actually,
or at least it's realistic. I mean, kind of like the Hurt Locker, it's kind of a realistic
it's
story.
Very, well,
if not actually true.
The cast they had, it's lots of child actors really, and they're
recruited.
All real kids from the street who'd actually been through similar things, and scary to see that side of the world really and of life for them. But really well done, and there's a TV series spawned from it called City of Men.
Yes,
so worth a look as well. Yeah.
Number 16 is Rear Window.
Indeed.
Another Hitchcock. You see, there's a lot of Hitchcock on this. What does that tell you?
He's done well, Hitchcock.
He does. He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the classic James Stewart again. Rear sees an apparent murder out of the back of his house.
Yeah, it's a guy who's in a wheelchair and is stuck in his apartment with a telescope, right? Yeah,
that's right. Remade with Christopher Reeve.
Yes, wasn't there another one with Steve Guttenberg as well? I'm sure there.
I really don't think
so. I really think there was a Steve Guttenberg version. But we're on the clock, so I'll look this up later and find out.
Rear Window Academy?
Yeah, I'm just sure. Stephen Mack has done other films, you know.
No, he hasn't. Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, again, it's a classic Hitchcock murder mystery. Or was it a murder?
Yeah. Number 15. Oh, now we're getting to the real high-quality stuff. Goodfellas.
Classic.
Oh, wonderful.
Meh.
Possibly.
What do you mean, meh?
Meh? Meh? Meh? Meh? What do you mean, meh? Meh how? Meh? What, you think I'm meh to you?
I wonder why we sounded a bit like the seagulls in Finding Nemo there.
Meh, meh, meh.
But so you're not.
I don't feel we've ever turned on Jen quite this.
Exactly. So what's wrong with Goodfellas?
I wasn't saying anything.
How did you get this far?
You said meh.
No, in our friendship, without.
I've not. I don't think I've seen it all the way through, and I'm meh.
Right, you're watching it. That's it. Okay. We're sitting down in front of the lot. It's
right.
A fine film.
You're not
going
to like what I'm going to say next. Or something else.
Oh
well.
Dear! Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
I can see where this is going.
Once upon a time, in America as well.
I'm having words. I'm having words.
It's Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta, he's sort of underused, brilliant in this.
Yeah.
He's never really quite done
similar. He hasn't really. But it's a wonderful, good book as well. I've read it. It's very good. It's a good one. And it's a film that I haven't seen for some time, but it just tells a great story and great music. Martin Scorsese really knows how to whisk you along.
Yes. And true story, of course.
Yeah, which exactly. Helps. Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant. What are you talking about?
Okay,
there's nothing
all right,
to not
I'll
like
give it
in
another,
this film.
It all blurs into one. That genre
watch,
at the moment.
Yeah,
and
lost
I want to. Okay, I want to be creative.
Go and watch The Wedding Date. Go on,
what?
Anyway, number 14. Number 14, Seven Samurai. Yes. I'll leave it to Paul to pronounce the actual title.
Okay. Seven Samurai.
Well,
there we go.
Yes, well,
thank you very much
nicely
indeed.
Nicely.
Yeah. This is an Akira Kurosawa film from 1954.
Yes, which is it's the Magnificent Seven.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Obviously, what the Magnificent Seven took as its inspiration.
This one was first.
Yes.
It's a village. You hire seven samurai. To protect them, and they do.
Yes, and it's yet another classic film that has been aped since and has made various moves.
It's more influential than it's a sort of must-watch nowadays.
Yes,
really,
I have seen it and remember. Mm. I mean, enjoy because I've appreciated it for what it did. But yeah, it wasn't as blown away as I wish I had been. But still hugely influential film.
Once again, the actual title, because we've got the actual original language titles here, and the title is, and I get it wrong, it's still, but it's Shikinin no Samurai. So just like Once Upon in the West, they just, the last word, once again.
Yeah, they haven't bothered making up their own translation.
No,
they
exactly.
Just use the English.
They always give up
on the English of Samurai.
They give up on the last word, once
I know,
again.
Rubbish.
You know, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
Lazy.
Shocking. And also, they say no Samurai.
Exactly.
Whereas we know there are seven of them. Yeah. They just, no knowledge.
Number 13, anyway. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
This one is radically different for the other
indeed.
Two.
The film that just keeps on ending.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it does not stop ending, does it? Yeah, yeah.
I that's the reason why I'm just like, I have to lump them together. Because on its own, it's just like, this film is just an end of lots of films.
Mm.
Again and again.
Only like the last half hour is ending. Other 2 hours
only
are
only,
all...
only half an hour.
You're right, half an hour to end a film is taking the...
Well, yeah, but it's not... Oh, anyway. No, but good trilogy, obviously brilliant, but... Yeah.
Well, it goes to... They've put
on
this
its
one,
own...
The world has voted this one higher than the other two.
Yeah, because they went, finally.
Exactly, we could have finally
I'm almost offended on Peter Jackson's behalf.
No, they're great films.
But great as well. It's very rare you find the third of anything to be
on
top of the other two. So.
Except, I mean, this is relatively unusual. It's not really a sequel. It was always packaged as a trilogy. Mm. And so it's kind of just the finishing of the story.
True.
But yes, it's an unusual example.
Yeah.
Number 12, Star Wars.
Ah.
There's almost nothing to say beyond the sheer awesomeness of it.
Well, I'm surprised we haven't had any of the other Star Wars films so far, so they better all be appearing pretty darn quickly.
There's one more to come, which is sort of the obvious one.
Well, yeah.
But Jedi, I don't know if I put Jedi in the best 50
films
of all time.
I suppose, isn't it? You know?
And the first three, definitely not. I mean, I do actually like all the first three, but they're not in the
top 50,
best 50
are they? No, exactly.
But Star Wars, I mean, it's just a brilliant invention by George Lucas back before he got slightly bogged down by his own ego.
Yeah.
And fantastic casting and great effects at the time. Mm. I personally quite like the redone effects, the special editions.
Yeah, I quite like them as well. I quite like them. I'm surprised, actually, that this isn't the most highly rated of the Star Wars films.
Really. Mm. Yeah.
I think I know the fans say that Empire's better.
That's because Empire's better.
Fair point.
There's a reason for that.
Well, fair point. But I think just in terms of the, iconic sort of best of all time.
Oh yeah, but no, but iconicness does not a great film make.
Well, wow. You sound like Yoda.
Oh, yeah. No, but seriously, I mean, because Star Wars, it's got a bit more of the setup which Empire doesn't have, and Empire is slightly leaner, it has a better ending, and there's more goes on in Empire than goes on in Star Wars.
No, fair point.
But anyway, but regardless, Star Wars, you must know of it.
Indeed.
And if not, what on earth are you doing listening to this? Go out and watch it.
Casablanca at number 11.
Classic.
Oh, that is yes, that's another film. That was one, there was a phase I went through when, because my knowledge of older films is quite bad.
Yeah.
And you Mine guys too. Or other people bought me various DVDs, including North by Northwest in Norfolk, and watched Casablanca years ago now when I got it. And it was, it was phenomenal. It's one, unlike, I think, like the Citizen Kanes and the other films, which I feel have not so much dated, but they've been improved on, or people have taken those lessons and then run with it. Casablanca, I still think, stands not alone, but it still stands entirely on its own.
Right? You can watch it. I get a craving for it every so often.
Yeah,
and,
I haven't seen it for years and years and years. Can't really. Yeah, I need to watch it.
I just
again.
Love the lines. Just great dialogue and just classic scenes, classic moments all the time. Wonderful.
Mm. And it was just, I mean, I still remember just one, I think it was just one shot of like a shadow or someone opening a safe or so, just shadow on the wall. But yeah, I mean, the fact I can't even quite remember the context, but the fact that stays with me.
Yeah.
Of just, it's just.
I love the fact that the last scene, I forget, a bit like Return of the King, about the false endings of a film, is that I keep thinking, oh, of course, that's the last line. Yeah, he's looking at you, kid. Oh, no, it's not. It's beginning of a beautiful friendship. Oh, no. And there's so many endings. I think, of course, that's the last iconic line, but no, there's another one.
No.
So. Number 10, Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, which is better, which I realised I covered a few seconds ago.
Exactly, which is handy because we're running over, so we can probably move
first. Yes, but I'd say it's the best of all the Star Wars films, comfortably. I just like dark endings, but kind of helped by the fact you know there's more to come, but it's just...
Not as good as Phantom Menace, but...
speaking of
franchises, number 9, The Dark Knight.
I'm torn on this.
Impressively high for
because,
a recent film.
Yeah, this is still going to have a degree of fan obsession driving it this high, but I also genuinely think it warrants a place somewhere on the list.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's number 9.
I don't think it's the ninth best film of all time.
No, probably not number 9, but it does belong here somewhere. Mm. I think partly because of just the film itself, which I love, and the performances within it. Also, kind of the achievement of it, in a way. I'm fairly sure there'll be no other superhero film on the top 250.
No, sorry,
let alone the top
50.
So I think it warrants a place. If you watched Batman and Robin 12 years ago, you never would have thought there'd be a sort
It's come on, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it really has. I mean, Oscar-nominated Batman film in years to come. And hopefully the third one, if it ever appears,
will be even
better. Yeah. But we'll see.
Who knows? Number 8. Well, why not write down what you predict the top 8 will be? And I bet you won't get this one right. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
I think doesn't that deserve
a place? But I wouldn't necessarily think of this as a top 8 film of all time.
No, I suppose.
I think top 50 certainly, but I think we're now getting some surprises in here.
Well, actually,
I think number 7's a big surprise for this high as well, I think.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I think it's a definitive jacket.
You're getting the film fans.
Well, no, I'd actually put The Shining before.
No. Well... No, so, I wouldn't put it as a better film. Yeah, Shining is more definitive Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
But no, but this is, it's still him, it's sort of, it's him being more normal.
It's a very good film, it's a really good film. Christopher Lloyd, and this is one of many supporting cast, though. He's very good.
And much parodied, of course.
Much parodied, yeah. I used to get this film confused with Awakenings, which is on a ward with people with actually more a physical illness.
Yes.
But both are very good films. But this one particularly is, I saw the play in West End a couple of years ago with Christian Slater. He wasn't in it, he was just next to me. number 7, speaking of plays, I was in this, number 7, 12 Angry Men.
In the 50s?
I was, yes.
You age well.
No, I was in the stage version,
definitive
at my university when I played during number 10, The Racist One.
Hey!
Shaved my head for it as well.
Plays type.
Rather frighteningly. But yeah, it's a great movie. It's a great play as well, but it's a really good film.
Really claustrophobic with sort of moving the walls in.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? That's right.
I haven't seen it. Need to see it.
Worth a look, particularly as an actress. You'd like it. It's a good movie.
Good.
And it's a lovely thing as well. There's no names given in it as well. It's only at the end you realise that actually no one said a name. No, none of them know each other really.
No.
So. But well worth a look. Really good film.
Number 6, I've never heard of this
Schindler's
film.
List.
Now, know nothing about
for
it.
This review, I'm going to hand over to you, John, because I bought it for you a couple of years ago for your birthday, and you're about to see it by now. Tell us about Schindler's List.
And I watch it religiously every 5 years.
Is that right?
Unfortunately, I haven't come up
that
to the first
hasn't
5
come
years
yet. Is that right? So, I see. I see.
No, this is no, I still haven't.
It's a it's an amazing film.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that for a second. This is just my definitive gap in film knowledge.
Well, let me tell you and the listening public public at large that it's a great film, and it's probably, for me, the definitive Second World War film. Although it's not really a war film, it's not about the war.
No.
It's about, obviously, someone trying to help the war, and Ralph Fiennes evil, on top evil form. But it's a very moving film, and it's one of those films that I think should be played into schools, and people should be forced at gunpoint to watch. Actually, that's kind of defeating the point.
Well, it's a little bit.
Yeah, not that. But you should see it anyway.
Yes, I will one day. Number five is Pulp Fiction, which, again, I think that's... I wouldn't put it at number five, necessarily.
It's a very good film.
I think it's... I haven't seen it for a while, but it's whenever I see it, it's excellent. It is excellent.
It's good fun as well.
Yeah.
I just remember fun in films.
Good story, sometimes. Interestingly told. Spawned so many people mucking around with timings in films and flashbacks.
It didn't spawn the timeline jumping thing.
Well, no, it encouraged it to come back again in a massive way. A lot of films now do it where they didn't do it for a while.
And I think it's
great.
Although, I still haven't seen Rashomon, which is the first one. Which isn't on the top 50.
And I think it's also great when you've got your protagonist or like one of the main guys who dies, but then it's okay because he's in the rest of the film as well.
Well, yes.
Yeah, very true. It's all right.
He gets shot, but he's back. And anyone not really paying attention to him, but he's dead. I don't understand.
And also, I think it also started the whole soundtrack buying again.
That is true because I
bought that. I listened to that so many times as a student. It's a weird
iconic soundtrack.
Skipping past the first 10 seconds, obviously. Mom's in the room, quick. Everybody call, this is a robbery, etc.
Number four it pretty much describes us.
Yes. The good, the bad, and Jen.
I was going to say, I was good, Jen was bad, you were ugly.
Oh, charming.
Yeah.
I say that, it's, you know, I just abused Jen on that.
Well, so that's true.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're meant to be the nice one.
I know. Well,
why is he meant to be the nice one?
Because you're the bully.
Oh, shut your face.
He's dropped the baton, so, you know, I've got to pick it up and hit you over the face with it. So, what do you expect? This is another Sergio Leone spaghetti western. A surprise that he's got two in the top 50 here, actually.
Yeah.
But good film. Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
As the good. And the other people as the bad and the ugly.
Yes, I can't remember who plays who.
But again, the classic Mexican standoff as well, which is a fine moment. Mm-hmm. And also sport, again, very influential in other films doing it. I'm kind of surprised to see it number four, but fair play.
Yeah, but well, there's no arguing with the public, even though there should be.
Indeed.
Number three, Godfather Part Two.
Ah, yes. Jen, what do you think of this?
Not seen it. I do sort of slightly group them together. I think just...
How can you group them together if you've not seen it?
As in, they're a blur of stuff that I'm not necessarily going to go out of my way to go and see.
Criminal.
I know I'm probably wrong, but like I say, growing up the way I did, the fact that these had already been released and were out in the ether, that I just... There were never,
you,
there's
have
never
you seen
a
The Godfather Part 1?
I might have seen bits of it. I honestly can't distinguish, and that's why I'm going to be quiet.
Fair enough.
And yet you tut my Schindler's Listlessness.
Good work.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
So yeah, number three is Godfather Part Two, and at number two is The Godfather. Yeah, so we can lump the two together.
Yeah, I don't. I arguably put Part Two ahead of Part One, but it's a.
I think again,
it's a very
I do
decision.
Think it's a better film, but again, in a list like this, I do think.
Yeah, you kind of need one.
I'd like. This is why again I suggested Star Wars Above Empire, because I think the first one is the groundbreaking. You couldn't do the second without the first, put it that way.
Yeah, so, no, that is true. But I think the second is better than the first because of that reason.
It's a fair point.
The baggage of the
first. It's a fair point.
But both phenomenal films.
Yeah.
And much aped and attempted to replicate with the third one, which just failed.
Exactly. But well, I suppose the second one has got Robert De Niro as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, which the first one didn't.
It's another, actually, it's not really timeline jumping, but it does add more weight to sort of telling an interesting backstory and future story with kind of the first one belonging in between those two.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I should have a day of them.
Definitely
should.
Yeah.
I think we should have a day of Godfather, Schindler's List, and the remake of The Italian Job, which I still haven't seen.
Oh, very true.
But I'm delighted to see has not troubled our top 50 here. So anyway.
And very quickly, if we can wrap up,
we've got
one minute 50.
To do the Shawshank Redemption, which is number one.
Which is, I think, probably rightly at number one.
Well, yeah, this was a real slow burner, because I think when it came out, it didn't do much business.
No,
and it was
not
only
at all.
Even about 3 or 4 years after it was out on DVD, suddenly these list shows appeared, and people suddenly started going, actually, yeah, I think I really like that film.
Yeah, it's just it's a word of mouth.
It's an amazing sort of triumph for that, really. And it's actually opened as a play in the West End.
Yeah, it is.
I can see that working
that
well.
That could work.
Mm. Yeah, and it's just Tim Robbins, he hasn't really. I mean, he's obviously done a lot.
Yeah.
But again, I can't think of anything as distinctive in the last 15 years he's done beyond this.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Mark Kermode, film review, has a point where he loves the film, but he reckons it should have ended before it does. It should have ended with Morgan Freeman. Sort of not quite meeting not quite making it to a beach.
No, I don't know. It's a slightly enforced happy ending, maybe.
Yeah.
I like it though.
Particularly because it is quite a grueling 2.5-3 hour watch.
Yeah,
and it's a nice, like, satisfying.
You get a reward for it.
You do, exactly. Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
So
it's not like a typical bolted on happy ending where it's like it's all been all right and then
because it is a tough watch throughout as well. There are some nasty bits, but it's beautifully, and you know, classical music playing through the prison yard.
Yeah, yes, it does make your heart swell.
It does. Very true.
Go boom, titty boom, titty boom, titty boom.
Yes. So that is the 50.
That's the 50.
Done in pretty much 50 minutes.
So yeah, any comments on that, do drop us an email, podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes, but do remember this is the IMDb's top 50,
yes,
not us.
So don't shoot the messengers.
Don't object to any placements, but just share your thoughts on the films.
And let us know if you enjoyed the podcast. We may do a similar one in the future with numbers 100 to 51. You never know.
Well, that's true. Good luck.
But do let us know your thoughts. Follow us on Twitter and tune in another time.
Yes, we shall see you next week.
Normal service will resume.
Very true. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.